This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Oh, yeah. On your home for the best Ravens coverage.
What time is
it? It's time for News from the Nest with Vinny and Haney. 105.7 The Fan.
Yeah, Nick and Jordan are doing a good job. They're doing a good job, and whenever I miss a kick, it's because I let one get away. I've said this before, and whenever we make kicks, it's because all of us are doing exactly what we need to do to make kicks.
Vinny and Haney back here on 105.7 The Fan. Cordell Woodland here for Bob Haney here with Vinny Serrato. Quick Draw McGraw behind the glass. Coming up at 12:15, we'll play a little buy or sell. Check in on the stock market as well. But right now, we're getting you some news from the Nest. You heard from Ravens kicker Justin Tucker there. It's been a lot of talk about maybe it's not Tucker, right? Maybe it's Jordan Stout on the hold or something's going on with the snap. So I had asked Tucker, you know, if he was seeing anything else going on with the operation, and you heard his answer there.
Yeah, the only thing is why is the operation perfect on basically inside of 49? Yeah, I mean, he finally missed one inside of 50, but why is the operation perfect on all those?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, that would be my comeback to that. You know, we're only going to blame. We don't give the holder and the snapper any credit when he makes everything.
Right.
But when he misses, it's, you know, why is it only, you know, he can't make 50-yard plus if he's 3 of 7?
No, I'm right there with you. I mean, and
I think that's excuse.
Like you said earlier, with the kicking, I'm not going to sit here and act like I'm an expert at the kicking
mechanisms. I don't think
none of us.
Justin Tucker could talk circles
right
around us.
So, I can't tell from the naked eye. And then, you know, everybody on social media is an expert in everything. So you got people that's looking at it from the most smallest micro. But yeah, I mean, and when you see a guy like Justin Tucker struggling the way he is, you probably just want to check and make sure, all right, is everything copacetic? Is everything okay besides just your leg? And everybody continues to say it's him, including himself.
I mean, Tucker is smart enough to know you know, like, if I'm Harms, I'm just calling in Justin. Justin, what's the deal?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he'll be able to, you know, he'll be able to tell me while I'm doing this. You know, my foot, I'm trying to correct, you know, that's what I'm trying to correct. So, I mean, it's easy. You just go to the horse's mouth.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's one that's easy to figure out what to do, what not to do, or what's wrong. I mean, and Tucker's not a BS dude. I mean, he's a stand-up guy. Listen to everything, you know,
mm-hmm.
whenever you guys interview him.
Let's hear one more from Justin Tucker. Obviously, all of his misses seem to consistently go wide left. Here he is talking about why that may be happening.
Well, if you just take the 10,000-foot view and you look at, you know, where all the kicks have gone, they've gone just wide left, so... You know, and you just mentioned it at the exact same time. Each kick, you know, kind of lives in its own world. But you know, the adjustment is, you know, pretty clear. I just need to make it a point not to let the ball carry to the left. So, you know, that's something that we're going to continue working on in practice.
Well, my next question would be, how do you do that?
Yeah, because I feel like I said, most of his kicks that he's missed have gone left. So if it was as simple as, oh, let's just make sure it doesn't go left. I mean, I feel like he would have fixed that by now. It's something. Now, we've talked about his distance not being an issue to this point. Could it be an issue to where maybe and I'm just spitballing here, he's trying to kick it so hard to whip. You have to sacrifice one thing to do another. Maybe you're pushing it a little too much, and that's why it is going left. But it's going to the same side every time. I don't know.
You know, I just go back to the week five, the 56 yarder he made against the Bengals, where he clubbed. He got all of that one because you know how you know when it does, because like. It's straightened back out.
Right.
You know, I mean, he got all of that. I don't know if he's getting all the ball. You know, I don't know that, because it's just kind of drifting. That one that he hit from 56, that wasn't going nowhere but down the middle, because it was, that's like that drive that you hit it, or the home run, you know, goodbye. You know, otherwise you hit that high fly ball, you know, you kind of didn't get it all, and it just kind of
dies at the wall.
Yeah,
I mean, it's definitely a puzzling situation, and I think probably we'd be panicking a little more if it was short or missing wide right as well.
Short would be an issue, because then strength.
Let's switch gears. Let's go to the offensive side of the ball. Let's hear from Nelson Aguilar. Obviously, the offense struggled on Sunday against Pittsburgh. Really good defense that they went up against. But here's Nelson just talking about the offenses. Are they in shock when the offense is in the middle of a poor performance?
I wouldn't call it a state of shock. I think for us, we're very aware that, you know, lack of execution can give you poor results, regardless of how talented we are. You know, if we do not execute properly, we won't get the results we want consistently. Because sometimes we do get results without the best execution, you know. But, you know, it's important to be as detailed as possible to minimize, you know, the margin for error.
And I think you can just talk about the two-point play on that one. Because, you know, the play call, if it would have been blocked perfectly, he walks in.
Right.
But, you know, you got a good defense on the other side, too. And it all starts because likely doubled with Ronnie Stanley. Beautiful. All right. The end, and they were doing it all the time. The end, Herbig, when Aguilar had that short split, the end was coming hard. And if you noticed that, and Aguilar had that happen to him earlier in the game, you know the dude's coming. What do I got to do? I got to step flat down that line of scrimmage because I got to cut him off. I got to get my head in front so I can turn him. And all I got to do is, you know, because I got to stop the penetration, because what did the penetration do? Lindenbaum and McCary were coming.
Got blown up in the backfield.
And that dude blew it all up, so there was nobody out there. So, you know, one little thing, and head positioning. You know, and same thing with an offensive lineman. You're trying to run to the outside. That head, you got to get your head to the outside of your defensive player. So that was the play call. You know, we all thought it sucked, but it still would have been okay if they would have executed it perfectly. Right. That's the thing. But asking Aguilar to block a defensive end that's crashing down hard, are you asking him to do something that he
with the game on the line
do?
At that? Too much has to go right.
Yeah, like odds on Aguilar blocking that guy is less than 50-50. Right. So you know what? If that's the case, let me get another play.
Right. Let's go to the defensive side of the ball. Let's check in on the rookie corner, Nate Wiggins. Secondary had a good day on Sunday. Here's Nate talking about the need for the secondary to lock in over these next five games.
I feel like it's important. I mean, we're probably just in AFC. The ball going deep, so I mean, we play a big part in winning the game. So I feel like we got to come every week with our best.
I mean, the big plays have been a killer for this defense this year in the past game. Last year, you just felt like they always did a good job of making offenses earn it. This year, at times, not so much. I think when you look at the Chargers, I think when you look at the Chargers this week, I don't know if the threat of the big play is definitely not to where you would fear it if you're going up against the Bengals. But yeah, right now, I think this secondary needs to, number one, continue to minimize the big plays.
Oh, no doubt. No doubt about it. And the only thing with Wiggins, you know what scares me about Wiggins is He's so grabby. You know, like he's a penalty waiting to happen. That's the only thing that scares me about Wiggins.
One more here before we go to break. Let's hear from Patrick Ricard, who, of course, was a part of that big part of that Greg Roman-led offense. Of course, Greg Roman's now the offensive coordinator in L.A. Here's Patrick Ricard talking about the similarities between the two offenses.
Personally, I joke around and say that they're the L.A. Ravens just because they have so many coaches, personnel, players. Most importantly, they have, you know, Harbaugh's brother over there. And, you know, they're similar coaches, so they need similar players, similar guys. So it makes sense that they're using a lot of people that have been here.
Yeah, I mean, it definitely is Ravens West right now with a little bit of a twist, right? It doesn't look exactly like the Greg Roman offense we saw here in Baltimore.
Well, it's all Ravens coaches and Michigan coaches, basically. You know, that's kind of the common denominator. Yeah, the offense doesn't look the same because, like you had said earlier, when Roman came in and Lamar was here, Lamar was a runner, and that's what they did. Now he comes in and Herbert's a thrower, and they're throwing a lot.
Coming up next here on Vinny and Henny, we'll play a little buy or sell, check in on the stock market, and answer some questions from the world of sports. That's next here on The Fan.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Are you buying?
Great cash, homie.
Or are you selling?
I'm not gonna buy into that crap.
Vinny and Haney, 1057 The Fan.
Vinny and Haney back here on 1057 The Fan. Cordell Woodland filling in for the Bobster here with Vinny Serrato, Quick Draw McGraw behind the glass. Coming up at 12:30, we'll talk to Bill Bender from Sporting News, talk some college football with him, and some big college football news just dropped. Julian Juju Lewis, number two player in the country, committing to Deion in Colorado. So huge get for Deion, a
quarterback.
All these rumors of Deion potentially leaving. I don't think he's going anywhere right now, it looks like.
He got that kickstand down, like you said.
Yeah. So huge gift for Colorado. So we'll talk to Bill about that and plenty of CFP news to talk to him about as well. But right now, let's check in on the stock market.
All right. The Dow rebounded a little bit today. The Dow's up 360. S&P's up 15. NASDAQ's down 53. DraftKings up 18 cents. $43.98, and Under Armour's up 6 cents.
Green.
Yeah.
All right, we'll kick things off here with gangrene. The Jets, their season's been an absolute disaster from start to finish. Hasn't even finished yet. It's still a disaster. And each week seems like a new layer gets peeled back in this whole drama. The latest news actually takes us back in time to week 4, where the Jets lost that low-scoring snooze fest to the Broncos. Team owner Woody Johnson was so appalled by the performance, especially Aaron Rodgers, that he suggested in a private meeting with coaches to bench the future Hall of Fame quarterback in favor of Tyrod Taylor. This didn't go well with those coaches. They shot down the idea. Less than 10 days later, Robert Saleh was fired. Buy or sell, Vinny, with no one to push back, it is possible we see Rodgers get benched for poor performance this season.
Yeah, I'll soft buy that because what he may not do is he may not play through all these injuries and stuff, and he may take, you know, you want to be do that to me? Fine.
Go over to the NBA. An injury for Rui Hachimura has led to changes in the Lakers starting five. Rookie forward Dalton Connect has filled in nicely. The last three games for LA, actually averaging 26 points per game, leading some to question if he should have an expanded role moving forward. Now, shooting over 60% from three, that's probably not sustainable through a full season, but what he's doing right now, still pretty impressive for a rookie. Buy or sell Cordell, small sample size or not, Connect should be in the starting five for the Lakers moving forward.
Right now, I'll buy it. You know, it's the ebbs and flows of a long season. I think JJ's doing a good job getting that offense to space the floor, which is what they've needed to do for a while. And he's finally got a couple of new players to help him do that. But at some point, Connect isn't going to be connecting as much as he is from three-point land or from the field in general. He's a rookie. So right now, it's okay. Even once Rui comes back, he can come off the bench. But I think even that has a shelf life.
Let's talk about tonight's game. Steelers and Browns. Nick Chubb has yet to look like his true self since he returned from that injury. But last week against the Saints, pretty decent in limited carries, 50 yards on 11 touches. Tonight, he'll face a Steelers defense for the first time since suffering that gruesome leg injury. Remember, week two of last year, they were taking on the Steelers. It was a hit from Minkah Fitzpatrick that did him in. He says he's not letting that enter his mindset for tonight, but what we do know is the Pittsburgh defense has been pretty stout against the run this year. Vinny, you saw some areas last week for the Ravens to maybe exploit them in the run game, but buy or sell for Chubb tonight, he'll have a season high in rushing yards, at least 53 tonight.
I'll buy that. They're going to need it, and it's supposed to be raining, so it'll be kind of a muddy type game. So, yeah, I could see that he gets over 50 yards. I think you can run it up inside on them.
Well, the Orioles, they're going to be trying their best to keep Corbin Burns in Baltimore this offseason, but if they don't, the expectation is they'll be looking to replace him with another starter, and that could be through free agency. It could also be through a trade. MLB writer Matt Snyder recently writing that the O's should maybe consider striking a trade with Seattle for one of their young starting pitchers. The Mariners, we know they have an extreme need for offensive talent after last year, really no offense to be found at all. And the O's have a lot of intriguing position players in their farm system. As far as which pitcher you'd be looking to get in return, maybe a guy like George Kirby or Logan Gilbert is off the table, but they've got plenty of other young guys. Bryce Miller, Brian Wu also had great years last year. Buy or sell Cordell, a Mariners-Orioles swap would make a lot of sense for both contenders.
Oh, I'll buy that it makes sense for sure. I mean, they each have with the other needs. And I mean, you're looking at it, Kirby, he's 26 years old. Gilbert's 27. Bryce Miller's 26. All of these guys are pretty solid. And the Orioles have a surplus of hitters right now where they're still trying to figure out what to do with some of these guys. So, yeah, I wouldn't be against that. Definitely a situation where one team can scratch the other team's back.
And our last story today, the Lions offense. They've had no trouble putting up points this season. Just last Sunday, dropped 52 on the Jaguars in a blowout win. It's not even the first time they've scored 50-plus this season. They also dropped 52 on Tennessee earlier in the year. Came close when they scored 47 against the Cowboys. But one thing, a common theme in all three of those games, margin of victory, at least 38 points. That's something that puts them in rare company. Only seven other teams in NFL history have had three games with a margin of victory that large in the same season. No one has done it four times. You look at the rest of their schedule this year for the Lions. The only sub-500 opponents they've got are two matchups against the Bears. Some other games they'll play, teams around 500, the Colts, 49ers, and Vikings. Buy or sell, Vinny, the Lions will have one more blowout of at least 38 points, before the season is done.
I'll sell it. Bears defense is fairly decent. So no, I don't see it coming.
Yeah, man. It took some time for me to become a true believer in Detroit.
They're fast, aren't they?
I'm there, man. They're efficient. They just seem to have that one offense this year that you just can't seem to stop them. I mean, even if St. Brown isn't going to be the focal point, they'll get it to Jameson Williams. They'll run the ball down your throat with both of their running backs. I mean, Sam LaPorta looks like he's going to be back out there this week, which will be huge for them. I do think Detroit
and they
is
got a
legit.
Hell of an old and, line.
Yeah, and the defense hasn't been bad despite missing their best player as well.
Za'Darius had, what, a half a sack?
Coming up next here on Vinny and Haney, let's switch gears, get to some college football, talk to Bill Bender from Sporting News about the CFP, about Deion getting a huge commit today, all that and more next here on The Fan.
The latest sports news and your place to talk about it. Always. 105.7 The Fan.
Vinny and Haney back on 105.7 The Fan. Cordell Woodland here for the Bobster here with Vinny Serrato. Quick Draw McGraw behind the glass. We're going until 2 o'clock right here on The Fan on this Total Request Thursday. Send all your favorite text for all your favorite songs to the text line. Quick Draw will handle it from there. Big news today in the college football world. Perfect time to bring in Bill Bender from Sporting News. Bill, what's going on?
Hey, not much. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, thanks for joining us this afternoon. And we just got the big news about 20 minutes ago that the number two recruit in the nation for the 2025 class, Julian Lewis, five-star quarterback, is committing to Deion Sanders and the Colorado Buffs. A lot of talk about Deion potentially jumping ship and going elsewhere. But do you feel like this commitment kind of settles that noise down a little bit?
Probably a little. And, well, I mean, part of the reason for the noise is Deion's never not coached his kids. And obviously Shiloh and Shador, who are having great years, are going to go on to the NFL. But I don't think it's that easy, right? You can't just say, hey, Deion to the Cowboys, and then poof, it happened.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's much more complicated than that with NFL coaching searches. But to get Lewis shows Colorado's cool, right? It is the cool school now. The fact that they're having the success they're having in the Big 12 is only going to amplify that. I think they're going to the playoff, guys.
So if for them to get to the playoff, Bill, what do they have to accomplish?
They just got to win out. They got to beat Kansas this week, and that is a tricky game.
Yeah, that'll be a tough one.
Yeah, that's a tough one. They got to beat Oklahoma State next week. You got Gundy in spoiler mode, and then I think they'll be favored if they play Arizona State or BYU in the Big 12 championship game. So they've won their last four games by an average of 18 points per game. They have two best players on the field every time they step on the field on a Big 12 field. So I like their chances.
Let's look at the CFP bracket real quick. And obviously still some more time left in the season before this thing is finalized. But right now, I'm looking at Boise State, who has been a big story this year. Obviously, they have a stud at the running back position this year with Jenty back there. But they're sitting with a bye week right now in the fourth spot in the CFP. Do you think it holds up? And for people that haven't watched Boise State, I mean, how good is this team?
Well, they're good. And that group of five race is really interesting because Boise's one team. But if they slip up here in the last couple weeks or in the Mountain West title game, opens the door for the winner of Army and Tulane, you know, regardless of what happens with Army against Notre Dame this weekend. But Ashton Jenty, if you haven't had a chance to watch him, he's phenomenal. He's not just some novelty guy we're throwing into the Heisman Trophy race. He is a legit facing 8-9 box man boxes and playing very well against them. So I think the Broncos will end up winning that conference, winning the group of five bid, and you know, we'll see if they can steal the number three or number four seed along the way.
Bill, you know what's kind of funny is like I got two boys at Penn State, and I told them after they lost to Ohio State, I said, you're fine. You're actually in a better spot. I says, because you don't have to play in the championship game. You know, and I think that's – Lane Kiffin was mentioning something about that too, wasn't he? Isn't that like the complaint is you benefit more from not playing in the championship game than playing in it?
Well, in this format, the championship games, in my opinion, I've been on this drum for a while, that they're obsolete in some ways. You don't have the Ravens play the Steelers in a AFC North championship game the week before the wild card. Doesn't happen. So why are we doing it in college? I think, you know, other than – and the other thing, which I'm sure you said to your sons, was why are we not seeding these teams 1-12, right? Like – I think it's absurd that Ohio State can beat Penn State and play Oregon and play Indiana, and if they lose the Big Ten championship game, Ohio State ends up number five or number six when they should be ranked number two, in my opinion. So I think that's one of the flaws of this setup, and the fact that, you know, the people that haven't been paying much attention are going to have some sticker shock when they're like, why is Penn State number 3 in the rankings, but seeded number 7. Why can't we match this up? It's common sense.
We're getting on the back end of the season, and all, of course, we're starting to look at some of these awards. And look, I think at the start of the year, a lot of people thought Dillon Gabriel, I think he was the odds-on favorite for the Heisman when the year initially started. A lot has changed since then. Is it now Travis Hunter's award to lose?
Yeah, he's going to be tough to unseat here. A couple things, though. I mean, you know, conference championship game is always the last word. So if Colorado's playing in the Big 12 championship game, good bet he does it. Good bet he does it anyway. You know, we mentioned Genty. There's a couple quarterbacks, though. Cam Ward, mm-hmm. Dillon Gabriel. My sleeper to watch here over the last month, Jalen Milroe, you know, at Alabama. He played awesome against LSU. If Alabama somehow wins the SEC championship game and he goes off, you know, kind of like Kyler Murray did a couple years ago, he could steal it late, you know, just because of the implication of the game on the SEC, of course.
Talk to me about Saturday's game, Indiana-Ohio State. And, like, if it's a blowout, if it's a tight game, how do things – what's affected by those results, or if Indiana wins?
You know, I'll be there. I'm in Central Ohio. A lot of talk about that. You know, let's start with Indiana winning.
Yes.
You know, Ohio State
yeah.
suddenly under pressure, you know, and their resume will get scrutinized because other than Penn State, who have they beat? You know, heading into that Michigan game, there's going to be enough pressure on Ryan Day in that one to begin with. If Indiana loses by a bunch, Tennessee and Ole Miss are going to come after them because they're trying to squeeze that fifth team into the playoff. I think Indiana's fine unless they get just totally annihilated. I think this game's going to play out that Ohio State wins by 10 to 14 points, and it's competitive. Remember that Iowa-Ohio State game like a month ago, something similar to that. Mm-hmm. And Indiana gets in the playoff. You don't have to like it. You can complain about their schedule, and that's valid on some level, but I don't think it'll matter.
We're talking to Bill Bender from Sport and News. It's Vinny and Haney on 105.7 The Fan. And Bill, it's another meaningful game later on that afternoon. BYU, number 14 BYU, they go to Arizona State, number 21 Arizona State at 3:30. A lot of people looking at BYU on the back end of the CFP bracket right now. I'm kind of out on BYU personally, but where are you? Does BYU finish this thing off, and do they get in?
Well, I'm with you on some level. They can't lose again, and this Arizona State team is really hot around Sam Leavitt. Three straight games, three or more touchdown passes. Sun Devils playing very well on both sides of the ball. Kenny Dillingham, what a job he's done. BYU, I'm halfway with you, because on the other half, I'm like, I don't like watching teams that play in a bunch of close games and win. You know, the ball didn't bounce their way last week against Kansas. But they need to win out to get in as well. And that's why the winner of that game likely will play Colorado in the Big 12 Championship at Jerry World, which I can tell you right now, I didn't have that predicted in August. I'm honest about it, right? I could lie to you, but I'm not going to.
Hey, Bill, you know, like just looking at the brackets now, you know, I mean, you have a lot of teams that – the first round, I'm saying. A lot of teams from the South going to teams from the North, going to be playing in December. It is going to be very cool. It reminds me like when I was a kid growing up in Minnesota, and the Rams would be coming to the Vikings in the playoff, and we would always say, we got this. This is going to be no problem.
Oh, I mean, that's one of the allure of the first round.
Yep.
I mean, I'm right here in Central Ohio. There were snow flurries, not the ones that stick, but we had some snow this morning. Which I was like thinking the same thing. I mean, wait till we see Georgia in this stuff.
Right.
Or
Mississippi.
Ole Miss coming up to Happy Valley, or, you know, those are going to happen, but both ways. You know, the other half of it is the Big Ten teams are going to have to go. One thing Kirby Smart said that I think he's right, those SEC road environments are nasty, man. It is hard to go in and win at some of those places. And there's something, it's the same in the Big Ten, but it's not the same at every Big Ten venue. It's pretty tough to go down to those places and win.
Yeah, and Bill, and that was kind of what I was going to piggyback on as well, just with the first round of the CFP being, you know, the higher seed gets the home field advantage. I mean, how unique is that going to be when we're talking about playoff games in, at the college level, at least, and teams having a true home field advantage?
It's huge for the first round, and I don't know why we don't extend. I know why we're not extending it to the second round because of the bowl games, but, you know, why can't a top 14 get a home game? I mean, that should be part of your season ticket package. Mm-hmm. So that's another small flaw in this whole thing. You know, I'm going to go be in Ohio Stadium the next 2 weeks, and I can't help but think, you know, man, if they had Colorado in a quarterfinal here, that would probably be the equivalent in atmosphere to what you're going to see at the Michigan game in a couple weeks. So it definitely is one of those little flaws. And I think the next one is, you know, we've argued enough about these 12, 13, 14 teams like we do in the NCAA tournament. It can only lead to one thing, which I'm not a huge fan of. We're probably going to push this thing to 14 or 16 teams. I mean, I know the 14 talk is out there. 16 will be next.
Bill, great stuff, man. Really appreciate your time this afternoon. Where can people follow you and keep up with your work?
Yeah, I'm at BillBender92 at SportingNews.com. Always great to talk to you guys. And there's snow on the ground. I don't know how I feel about that today. It's too early.
Yes. Well, growing up in Minnesota, hey, October, we don't usually have snow.
Bill, really appreciate it, man. We'll talk again down the line.
Thanks, Bill.
Hey, no problem. Have a great day.
Coming up next here on Vinny and Haney, we'll get back to the Ravens talk. Ravens, they're out in L.A. on Monday night taking on the Chargers. Bad showing for the offense Sunday against Pittsburgh. Will they be able to make up for it in L.A.? We'll talk about it next here on The Fan. Vinny, only 16 points put up by the Ravens out in Pittsburgh on Sunday, resulting in a loss. How do you foresee Monday night going? Do we get, I don't know if I'm ready to say, you know, the best offense in football is going to show up on Monday night. I think it'll be a little bit of a tough game, but I expect better than what I saw in Pittsburgh.
All they got to do is eliminate the penalties and the turnovers, and they'll be fine. You know, I mean, that's the thing. And now what are other teams going to do? They're going to be trying to pull the ball out. So, you know, I'll promise you, if you guys ask Harbs this week, are you practicing even more on people taking the ball out because you were susceptible to that this week? So I would think if they just don't turn it over and they don't have the penalties, they would have scored close to their 30 just by doing those two things.
Yeah, I mean,
and even though Lamar played like crap other than the last drive,
right?
You know, they still would have.
The penalties, I'm hesitant to say, you know, all they have to do is get rid of the penalties.
Well, make it to six.
Dude, yeah, at least cut it in half. Yeah. At least cut it in half, just because it's been a part of their DNA all year.
Yeah.
And I've read the numbers over the last three games. It's getting worse, you know, over the last three games. So I don't know if they'll be able to disappear, but you can't have them. What you can't have is a penalties. Penalties are never good, but you don't want them on first down to where you're all immediately starting behind the sticks, and you don't want them taking away chunk plays. Those are the killers. Those are momentum stealers, in my opinion.
Like the one to Aguilar down to the 4 yard line. I mean, you know, that's a 5 yard penalty, but really it's a 39 yard penalty. Yeah. And then the ones that cannot happen. You have to eliminate not half, all special teams ones, because that is the killer. You get it out to the 30 and it may be back on the 12 because it's from the spot of the foul. So to me, those are disastrous for drive starters.
410-583-1057 is the number. Let's go to Jay in Baltimore. Jay, thanks for holding. You're on The Fan. Jay?
Yeah, I'm here.
What's going on?
What's going on, Cordell? What's up, Vinny?
What's happening?
Not much. Wanted to ask y'all, this whole narrative, sorry about that, give me 1 second.
Yeah.
This whole narrative of John Harbaugh is a crazy idea for him to be gone. I'm not sure how we reached that point when 6 years ago I thought they reached a mutual point of separation, and the only reason why he maintained his job was because Lamar Jackson took over, which anybody would have done that once Flacco went down and they weren't winning games, and Lamar helped them win. So they already was going to go through that of who they were going to be their head coach. And now, granted, they were in a better position because they had experienced the coaches back then to step into place as a placeholder. As to what's now, we got a bunch of rookies. But even still, I don't think that's a problem, you know, that shouldn't be avoided just because, oh, no, what are we going to do? Now, I'm not a big, you know, get rid of John Harbaugh guy, but, I mean, I don't think football games should be lost by the coaches. And there has been several decisions made by John Harbaugh, or several decisions not made by John Harbaugh, which caused the Ravens the game. I believe if the team lose, it should be because of the players, which was a mixture of last week, players and coaches.
Yeah,
appreciate the call, Jay. I mean, yeah, I guess you could say the penalties are on John as a whole, but I can't look at least off the top of my head, at the game on Sunday to where I say, oh, yeah, that's John's fault.
I mean, the special teams ones, they probably work special teams more than anybody.
Yeah.
And John's not telling them to grab the guy,
mm-hmm.
You know, and John's not telling Ronnie Stanley, hey, Ronnie, when that guy starts to pull away, you know, I'm sure they told him when he pulls away, let go. Don't pull him and yank him down. I mean, to me, the coaches and the penalties, no, I don't see how that's the coach's fault. I mean, you know, like the play call on a 2-point, yeah, that's coaches because you put them in a tough spot. But the other stuff and the fumbles, how's that Harbs' fault?
Well, no, that's not.
And then what other people were bitching about was, well, they should have just ran the clock out right before the half instead of throwing. Up the pass that likely was 4 yards. It's as safe as you can
it's
get.
It's a screenplay. I mean, yeah. It's
and they had 3 timeouts.
They just wanted it more. The Steelers wanted it more. The interception on the pass to Justice Hill is a clear example of Pittsburgh willing to do whatever it took to win that game. No reason that any professional football player should be getting the ball taken away from them in that fashion. That's just a sign of the other side wanting it more.
Cordell, I said that that was the play of the game because the Ravens are going in to score.
Oh, yeah.
And then Pittsburgh went down and got 3 points out of that.
That was a huge killer.
Yeah, because the Ravens are going to go get a touchdown. They'd already had, two, and they were down to the 32-yard line, and on 2 plays, they were down. So, yeah, that was a killer. And if Lamar threw it about another foot, you know, that guy has no chance.
Yeah, if he had laid it out a little bit more, it was good coverage too. But yeah, I mean,
it was like catch-up coverage.
Yeah, he threw it a little behind him, causing Hill to turn around. He caught it. It's just bad. Whenever you see a guy get the ball taken from them like that, that's just the defense wanting it more.
Yeah, I mean, you know, when you catch it, Justice, I mean, you got to feel like the dude's like, unless he felt like he was down and, you know.
It's a crazy play.
Yeah,
it's
no
not
doubt.
It's not a play that happens on the normal.
No, it's not just a play you can practice.
No, it's just, like I said, just they're making plays and the Ravens weren't. Coming up next here on Vinny and Haney, we'll feed you some NFL lunch, see what's going on around the league. The Jets owner continuing to manipulate what's happening with that team. Is he going to take a step back? We'll also check in on the other team in New York, the Giants, who are changing quarterbacks. All that and more next here on The Fan.